We are the People Mobility Alliance, linking mobility and people.
Welcome to the Global People Mobility Podcast by the People Mobility Alliance, where we explore the latest trends in global mobility, people management, mindset, and leadership. I'm your host, Stefan Remhoff, and our guest today is Roda Bangerta. Join us as we discuss beyond borders, beyond families, the hidden reality of split family assignments. Well, Roda, nice to have you here. Thank you for making this possible. Could you briefly introduce yourself and your role in global mobility or international HR?
Thank you so much for having me, Stefan. I specialize on the impact of frequent business travel and split family assignments on organizations, employees, their partners, and their children. So I worked in HR briefly early on in my career, learning the basics of recruitment, training, and development. And I now come to global mobility from the spouse's point of view. For about 20 years now, a decade, my husband was in the humanitarian sector and then a decade in the foreign service. So as well as specializing in it now for 6 years in terms of research and implementation, I also have firsthand experience of the family's point of view for someone who travels a lot, goes to high-risk environments and goes on unaccompanied assignments. As far as I know, I'm the only person who devotes their whole work to the positive and negative effects of unaccompanied relocations.
That's very interesting. So how long have you been working in the field of international assignments?
I started researching and disseminating my findings in 19 when we started our own split assignment, when he went to Kabul and I stayed in Switzerland with our boys. He was working for the Foreign Service then. And we're currently finishing a posting here in Kyrgyzstan. And we're about to start another split family assignment.
That's very interesting. Let's say a variety of different countries, and maybe leads us to the next topic, defining the landscape. In your experience, Roda, what percentage of international assignments involve employees going abroad without their families? And you are a case of that, I suppose, then, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. And when I started looking into it in 2019, because we were about to make that decision, I realized it's very common. In certain sectors, like humanitarian sector, the percentage can be up to 60% of the staff. We're not talking extended family. We're talking partner and children. And most of these postings in that sector would be imposed for security reasons, high-risk environments. Then even for local staff, I must add, their immediate families are maybe in another country. Mm-hmm. And the number that gets quoted mostly for those relocated without their partner is a figure around 20%. But those are older figures from KPMG or Carter surveys of 2011, 2012. And this would be a mix of imposed and chosen unaccompanied postings. And so it's not very clear on that figure what's included.
So there are no reliable measures or no reliable figures so far?
No. And the thing is that it's cross-sectional. So it's in humanitarian, in the profit sector, in the for-profit sector, in the non-for-profit sector. It looks at, there's different types of employment. There's rotational workers in oil and gas. There's a lot of short-term assignments. Questions about relocating abroad alone without one's partner tend to drop off surveys. So there's no consistency either. And I'd like to see these questions more systematically involved. But if you look at short-term assignments, we've got more numbers for them. They can last up to 12 months. They can be even extended further. And so we have more statistics on them. And they're usually unaccompanied.
That's interesting. So like talking about the, let's say, outdated figures, if we can take that, have you noticed any changes in this trend over the past 5 to 10 years? Maybe COVID played a crucial role or whatever?
Yes, definitely. Through my work with various organizations, I see rising numbers of chosen split assignments across sectors, mostly due to dual careers. So one partner does not want to move and the children's educational needs. And in your title, it's a very good title. It's the hidden, you know, it's something that isn't spoken about much, but very much a reality for many, many families. And short-term assignments are on the rise. Mercer's 2023, more than half of the companies anticipate an increase in short-term assignments in 2023, 2024, 2025 going on. Okay. So it's rising. as the years go by. What also makes it difficult with the numbers is that the vocabulary used can differ according to sectors. So you're talking about unaccompanied postings, non-family duty stations, split family assignments, geographical separation, and that also adds to the challenge. But from my experience, numbers are high. When I do webinars, within 24 hours, we have high registration numbers. And participants usually tell me like, wow, this is the first time that I've ever, you know, been able to discuss this with anybody else.
Like it's kind of a sensible aspect. And, yeah. So, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
and have information and strategies.
And maybe talking to peers, yeah.
Talking to peers, but also having information about it and realizing, okay, this, what I'm experiencing is common.
Yeah.
It's not something that's specific to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, very interesting. So, I would like to talk about the why and provide a better understanding of the why. So to say, so how do you distinguish between employer imposed split assignments like non-family duty stations versus employee chosen separations?
So unaccompanied postings are clear cut. No partner or child can accompany due to the high risk environment, the policy of the company, basically, they say no, it's that person has to go alone. Short-term assignments can also be clear-cut. So the person going in, the employee going in, knows what they're choosing a posting, that it's clear-cut. But many families are also choosing to be geographically apart, and the organizations don't necessarily know that their employee is going alone and that they're leaving a wife, a husband, and children. Yeah.
But what are the most common reasons employees choose or maybe they are required to go on a split family assignments? Well, to be honest, it's not obvious. Normally, you would naturally prefer going abroad with your beloved ones. Yeah. But what could be the reason behind?
Yes. And there are many reasons. And what I found is that a lot of people who choose this have multiple reasons. And then they're told, you know, and then people around them are dismissive of this setup. But if they've got legitimate reasons, then what are they left with, you know? And that's why I do what I do. But the reasons are, for example, financial. There could be a lack of jobs in their home area with that particular skill set. It could be career prospects. You have to go to a specific location to get career development. For example, difficult context, or there's a specific, higher management position. So you think, okay, I'll do that for 2 years and then I'll come back to my home location. And the main reasons that the partners don't accompany them is that either it's the security of the posting, but that one's clear cut, or it's the partner doesn't want to move. And we're seeing higher dual careers, both partners wanting to maintain their career paths. And it is harder to maintain a career path as a partner when you're expatriated every number of years. And then educational needs. A child has special needs. A child wants to finish their final year of high school in one location. And so the other partner says, okay, fine, I'll go to my next post and you stay here.
Okay. So it's a kind of, challenges. Yeah. And that's a very interesting aspect to be covered. The hidden challenges, maybe.
Yes.
What are the most significant challenges you have observed among employees on split family assignments?
One of the ones, another factor that can influence a decision can be co-parenting. So a couple could be, we've got to acknowledge there are different scenarios now. And so a couple could be divorced. You're co-parenting. That parent wants to stay in the country. You have to decide what's going to happen with the children, but you want career advancement and there's an opportunity. So you decide to then move and then you figure an arrangement out with your co-parent. But one of the biggest challenges are going to be worries about your family back home. The guilt of not fulfilling either role correctly of the parent or with your employer. You're constantly, the demands are competing constantly for your time. And it's not a 9-to-5 job where you, even a 9-to-10 job, where you go in the morning, you come back in the evening, you see your kids. This is, you're gone 24/7 for multiple days at a time. And you could completely underestimate loneliness on the site. You could have mental health issues. I think it's definitely hidden challenges for the employee that the organization doesn't always account for.
And what about some, let us call them human challenges, like loneliness, role strain, burnout? Any ideas on that?
I mean, well, they can quit. They just give up. It can risk of lower productivity, deteriorating mental health. potentially early return as well. So you're losing highly skilled staff because a lot of these positions are people who have got a lot of experience, highly trained.
Yeah.
And if they're arriving, and I've heard like very high top level management people completely underestimating the difficulty of being separated from, as you said, loved ones.
Yeah.
And because not a lot is known about it and how to make it a success, they say, okay, well, I'm going back. Or they get an ultimatum from the family and it's like, it's your work or me.
So it's like a sword of Damocles then, yeah, of course, yeah. Can you, Rhoda, share, of course, maybe anonymized, an example of how these challenges have played out? Yeah, you just judge some aspects of like coming home or like resisting the stress maybe. But do you have a vivid example?
I've known high-flying couples, thought it would be easy, realized after a little time that it was more complex than they thought. Took them years to recover, to come back, to reconnect lost relationships, and also find new positions if one of them decided to resign. Another high-flying couple, European commute stopped after a while because it was holding the at-home partner back from their career development.
Of course.
Yeah.
So that's a family system impact you are mentioning now. What impact have you seen on the families left behind, like beside career aspects or frustration, burnout? What's included then?
Yeah, there is. Few studies, Professor Hutchins, Yvonne McNulty, on non-traditional expats. And then, so the split family assignments are included in these groups of non-traditional expats. And mostly it's career implications for the partner at home, marital strain. I see it in my own research, role overload for the partner who's with the children. And the risk for the employee who's going is a complete loss of relationship with their children. So as time goes on, they more and more get disconnected from their partner and children at home. And as the years go by, that becomes more and more exacerbated.
Very well, yeah.
There's no formal study on the exact point it presents itself, for example, the marital strain. But from my experience with conversations and interviews, the strain can be very early on, or the strain can start showing, say, about a year after.
Yeah,
when exhaustion starts setting in and they realize this is something much bigger than what we expected. But there's no longitudinal studies and, you know, yeah. But it can be a high personal cost for the employee who's going.
I see. So what about how does marital strain typically present itself and at what point in the assignment then?
Yeah, as I was saying, I mean, it's there's no formal studies on it. It can come very early on. Yeah, it can come very early on, or it could be a year later and then everything starts coming out and the employee starts getting the pressure from the family and from their partner to change jobs.
Yeah, of course. It's not lean management. Yeah, of course not. And what about the long-term effects on parent-child relationships? Do you have any insights?
I've heard many stories of people who say, for example, their adult child telling their partner who was gone, "You didn't raise me, so you have nothing to tell me."
Like alienation then.
People who've been away on postings for many months and come back and then the child say, you know, "I don't want to listen to you." Or they say, "My teenager doesn't listen to me anymore." So that personal price of losing relationships. Yeah.
And what about the organizational consequences? So we talked about the family issues, yeah, and it's part of our title. But what about the organizational consequences? How do these personal challenges translate into business risks for organizations in terms of maybe, lower performance or whatever, yeah?
I think one of the greatest ones is mental health challenges. Mm-hmm. We mentioned the perceived loneliness that then could be numbed or unhealthy coping mechanisms can lead to unhealthy coping mechanisms. And then risk of losing staff, from ultimatums from the family, risk of staff saying, "Okay, well, I'm not going to carry on. I need a different position." And sometimes the staff will say, "No, I'm choosing work." And then they have a personal loss, but then they're going through a huge transition that may take a lot of their mental space.
I see.
I don't think it's constructive for the organization to not be taking these positions into account, these setups.
In this manner, what unhealthy coping mechanisms have you observed among employees?
Again, there's no specific studies on unaccompanied postings. There's on frequent business travel and the effect on the employee of, say, excessive use of alcohol, drugs, promiscuity. Mm. But there's many secondhand accounts of needing more psychological support for potentially erratic behavior from these staff. And it can impact the reputation of the organization as well as recruitment, which we'll talk about later, right?
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. And maybe let us talk about the support system. What specific support do you provide for employees on split family assignments?
So I can do line management briefings. I think if the line manager knows the policies within their organization, then they can make sure that the employee benefits from that and knows about them.
Mm-hmm.
This type of, explaining this type of staff is not necessarily, we'll have specific challenges that they have. I do webinars for staff and their partners. I do decision-making conversations. So an employee who has a potential a contract offer, and then usually that person and their partner wants to talk it through, and I can facilitate those conversations.
I see.
Using my framework, talk them through the framework, and I don't tell them what to do, but I help them work through the potential issues. And then these conversations have often led to them, the person choosing the posting. I do pre-departure preparation. I do ongoing one-on-one support, and there can be an organizational access to the resource center that I'm developing, which should be ready in a few weeks.
I see. And how do you support the families remaining at home?
So the framework I've developed gives them a structure to customize. So again, I will use that framework to help them focus their strategies. I give them ongoing one-on-one support. They can have individual access to the resource center. I have a podcast with many, many interviews of people living it and professionals as well, therapists and counselors, family counselors, and everything is through the angle of a parental absence from home or long distance relationships. And I continue to research.
Okay, good point. As we do, so to say,
Yes.
So let us talk about maybe innovation and improvement. And having the future vision in mind, increasing or improving processes, what would an ideal support system for split family assignments look like?
I think the organization being aware, having a logistical support, flexibility of packages, financially supporting the family on-site visits when possible. I messed that one up. But encouraging on-site visits when possible and allowing for more trips home. Maybe having a family contact person that the family can easily contact when their partner's gone, but at least they have another way in. Showing interest in the partner and family well-being. Maybe a dedicated page on the website with resources. Raising awareness with supervisors. And there can also maybe be like a concierge service or something that can help families, because essentially the employee's far and the organization can show their commitment, and in exchange have the engagement and the commitment of the employee, because often employee engagement and commitment is also dependent on organizational commitment as they see the organization committed to them.
That's a good point. Yeah, coming to the organizations, how can organizations better prepare both employees and the families for these assignments
Yes, left behind is a term that's used sometimes.
Left behind in that sense, exactly. Yeah, I have to be careful then.
With orphan spouses, I was like, that's an awful term. I do not want to use orphan spouses. But I think the key is decision-making conversations, because the veto of the partner can have an effect on whether the employee chooses the posting or not. Offering pre-departure conversations, that can have a huge impact on the successful assignment. And I think one of the ones is, which we haven't spoken about yet, is cap the postings to fixed term postings of 1 or 2 years max. That can really help for the recruitment, as the employee goes, okay, it's going to be for a year. let's do it. And the partner goes, yeah, okay. Well, 1 year seems feasible. 18
okay.
months.
Like the time span. Yeah. What's your message to organizations that currently don't differentiate between, let's say, the traditional expat assignments and split family assignments?
I would say start tracking your recruitment and retention for imposed positions if you're not doing it already, and see if there's more turnover or increased medical needs. And start talking about unaccompanied positions and see what the reaction is of your employees. And you'll probably find that there are more employees than you knew living this model. Some employees may think it's part of the private sphere, but most employees will welcome information and strategies about living it. And it will increase employees' image towards your employees and increase staff well-being.
I see. Very good point. So, yeah, coming to our final thoughts, is there anything important about split family assignments that we haven't covered today?
I think one of the aspects that we haven't spoke about is the enrichment from the split location, from the split family assignment. There can be enrichment from it. That's why people choose it. If it's done well, if it's supported properly, you could have repeat applications from your staff.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, it can be enriching for the staff member in their development, career development, for the whole family. It could be more intentional. So done well and well supported, I think it can really have a lot of enrichment. And that's something I wanted to highlight.
Very good point.
Also, the selection process. There's not a lot on selection process. I think there needs to be a bit more thought and research on that.
Okay. So still a lot to be done. So where can your listeners connect with you if they want to continue this interesting conversation?
Well, I'm online. I'm at rhodabangeter.com. You can sign up for my newsletter and you can also connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm always happy to connect and work with you if you're part of an organization to support your staff.
Thank you very much, Rhoda. Very inspiring, very interesting. And thank you for listening to the Global People Mobility Podcast. Be sure to follow us on LinkedIn and subscribe to our newsletter to stay up to date. See you next time. Take care.
To hear more, subscribe to our newsletter.